because it's fatal with these things if you don't get it. If you misspell somebody's name wrong at the start of a bit of a paper, they're misspelled throughout the entire piece. So, Pritesh, I know you're Pritesh Patel, aren't you? So that's P-R-I-T-E-S-H, and then Patel, P-A-T-E-L.
Yep.
Lovely, got that there.
Is Patel a well-known name in England now?
Decently enough, if you're educated. If you look out for what there is in the world, it's easy enough.
There's a lot of Patels here.
Yeah, there's enough. I remember being very young and being convinced it was pronounced Patel. But there we go, that's...
Actually, it's Patel. In English, you can't pronounce it properly.
not even slightly, I'm afraid.
No, but what you said is good. But the t sound in Gujarati, which is there are four kinds of there's t, 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 and t, and you probably can't even you can't hear the difference.
One of my best friends at university was from Thailand, and he talked to me about all the different vowel
tones,
sounds.
Tones,
yeah,
tones.
The intonations.
I used to live in Thailand.
Oh, I couldn't even get close.
Kabok wa mai ni nung. Goes up and down.
It just sounded to me like he was unwell. I'd get invited. I was kind of the mascot of the Thai society, but they'd all talk English to me because I was never going to pick up any Thai at all.
It's actually a very easy language, but. But the tonal, you have to get the tones right. If you get the tone wrong, then you get everything wrong. It can mean something completely different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure of that. I used to have a Croatian girlfriend. She used to try and teach me Croat. But apparently when I tried to pronounce, I'd like to kiss you, I pronounced it as, I'd like to lick your face. So we rode back from that. We stuck to English again after that. Anyway, if I can get the correct spelling of your name then.
Yeah, it's... Bhakti is
B-H
A-K-T-I
A-K-T-I.
Then the next is capital V-I-K. Yeah, should be good. I-K-A-S-A.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami, S-W-A-M-I.
A-M for Michael, I.
You're right, right.
And was that your birth name then?
Oh, no.
What were you born?
Born, christened... Hugh, H-U-G-H, mm-hmm. Turvey, T-U-R-V-E-Y.
Hugh Turvey. Correct.
No middle names.
No, that's absolutely...
That's it. No, I don't have any. I wasn't given, I was just given one name.
Hugh Turvey.
Yeah.
It sounds almost like should be a Bond secondary character, Hugh Turvey.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got a nice...
There is... I don't think you want to put this in the interview, but there is a Hugh Turvey in England. You wouldn't think it's a very common name, but I just saw it on Wikipedia, where else? He's pioneered X-ray photography as an art form.
Crikey.
But it's not me.
No. Yeah, well, there's no Ben Razas at all that I'm aware of, other than a few people.
What's the background of Raza? That's...
My great-great-granddad was the last undisputed Nawab of Rampur.
Rampur is where? Now it's in
India. Oh, crikey.
Oh, that'll be Rampur. Yeah. It'll be Rampur.
Yeah.
That's opposite Varanasi, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Right.
So, a bit of Indian royalty.
Oh, there you go.
There's a great photo of my granddad, who actually wasn't that nice of a guy, but he was coming down the steps of the family library, and it's this huge, grandiose, perfect alabaster white building, and they're all decked out in their finest gear, and they've got their cigarettes walking down. And then a few years ago, my parents went there, and it doesn't look like that anymore.
No, it's all run down. It'll all be run down now.
And the footpath that only the Nawab and his family could walk down this footpath, perfectly kept. Mm. And everyone else had to walk down this dirt track, and it's insane, really. There we go. And my wife's descended from Irish royalty, so there we go. When we have children, they'll
Irish
be a rare
royalty?
Mix.
Yeah. That's really going back a long way.
Yeah. Well, the Irish royalty would come and go over many centuries, and then some would disappear, and then new ones would emerge.
Right, and there wouldn't be... king for the whole of Ireland. There'd be Munster, Leinster, Ulster.
Yeah, the only time there was anybody claimed to be king of all of Ireland, really, was when the Brits... I think Henry VIII was the first to claim to be king of Ireland. Mm. But it didn't take. Mm. And we see that today, that it hasn't really taken.
Oh, we're the royal here.
Not something like a very, very watered down one, more watered down than your drink. And sorry, I didn't catch your name, sir.
My name is S A N K I R T A N. Das. D A S.
D A. Sankirtan Das. Cool. Okay. Well, let's.
I'm going to give this a rinse and a little water for washing.
So let's start where we are now then. So tell me about your life and what you do.
My life now consists of a lot of travelling. People often ask where I live, and there is no fixed place. I spent most of the last 30 years in India. And prior to that, I was in between India, Bangladesh, Thailand. That's why I know a little Thai, and Malaysia and Burma. But I've been based in India now, and I come out more or less once a year and travel around. And in the recording this, if you, we'll give you a copy of that also. If you
like. Oh, that's fine. That would be appreciated. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, still people use shorthand.
Oh, it's absolutely crucial. Things like, I mean, in court, when you go to court, you can't record, so you have to get it down.
No, I thought it was superseded by recording. No, just... So then I come out and visit different places, usually on a fixed circuit, different places in Russia and Europe and America. So my day begins about 3:30 in the morning, and shower first thing in the morning to get fresh. Then the first thing we do every morning is what attracted or what convinced me to join this Hare Krishna movement 41 years ago. The first thing we do every morning is devotional singing and dancing in glorification of Krishna. Krishna means God.
Indeed. So that's singing and dancing. Indeed.
Yeah. Did you bring that? You didn't bring a set of photos.
I did.
And I was so taken by that when I first saw that, that here are people who do this every day. That I thought, I want to do this, so I want to live my life like this, and that's what I'm doing. So in the morning, every morning, we have this services, early morning, and chanting the names of Krishna, singing, and then individually on beads also. We have our beads here.
We
chant on each bead, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Something like the Catholic rosary.
Yeah.
And in Islam also, they have the, I don't know what they're called, but they have, I think it's 27 beads, which is a small, smaller than this. This is 108, which is 408 times 27, somehow or other.
So, sorry, that's how many 108 you say?
108 beads, yeah. I used to see a lot in Bangladesh people using these beads for chanting, they chanting the names like that.
And so what, you do one Hari for each bead then?
One full mantra for each bead.
Oh, right, wow.
And then 16 times around. So it's 16... times 108 times Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I managed 12 this morning. I have another 4 to go. And a few more. So that's how we start our day. An intensive spiritual program. We rise at 3:30 and our program starts at 4:30 and goes on till about 9 o'clock. This morning was a bit unusual because we came in pretty late for us. But we still got up at 3:30, and then because we're coming here, we didn't have all that program. We cut it down a bit.
And you say the program, so it starts at 4:30, goes to 9
to about 9 o'clock.
Yeah. 9 a.m.
Yeah. When I say about, because the last part is a talk on the scriptures, on Bhagavad Gita, and there's some discussion, and it's a bit open-ended, mm-hmm. so it's not in exact fixed time. And then during the day, what I personally do is I'm either traveling or meeting others or writing. Did you bring some of my books? We have in the car.
In the car.
Yeah, you can. Should
I bring some?
Yeah, you can do. And then in the evening, we have an evening program in the temple, or I go outside for some program, which is again singing and speaking. But that's usually a publicly oriented one, whereas in the morning it's more internal, monastic.
Yeah.
And in the evening it's usually it's more outgoing, just like we're going on from here to Coventry, and there'll be a gathering of Hare Krishna devotees, but not monks, but like Pritesh, like the congregation, we call it. So that's more or less.
That's your life.
Yeah.
So do you live with a group of other...
Yeah. Generally, last night I was in your kitchen. And... you didn't put me there. I chose it because I wanted the door open. And, you know, in London, they don't... I wanted some fresh air. Mm-hmm. In London, you don't want to keep the doors open in the front side. So I was in the backside in the kitchen. So yeah, generally in an ashram, mm-hmm. and I live with other fellows dressed in this colour.
And is it is it all monks living in the ashram then? Or?
Generally, yeah. In some centres, they have facilities also for unmarried females also.
Can you be a female Hare Krishna monk then?
Well, that would be more like a nun.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the titles are.
Well, it's a bit tough. It's brahmacharis and brahmacharinis.
Right, okay. Are you allowed to marry as a Hare Krishna monk?
Oh, yeah, I see.
Oh, okay then.
For people wearing white, they're kind of like family.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean you're a monk as well then, but you don't wear the robes or...?
No, we're kind of family fans. We go to work, we've got our own house, mm-hmm. our family.
What do you do for a job?
I work as a database manager.
Oh, well, okay.
For Action for Children in Watford.
Nice.
Not far from here.
Yeah.
But we kind of devote some some parts of our day to spiritual practices and chanting 16 rounds. And
they have to chant 16 rounds also. Yeah. 16 rounds like this at home.
Yeah, you don't get off lightly.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah.
So tell me about your life before you joined the movement then.
Well, there's nothing spectacular to say. I mean, I didn't do anything particularly exciting. I was born in Amersham.
Mm-hmm.
In Buckinghamshire. We're in Buckinghamshire.
I know Amersham well, yes.
Oh. I don't, because I left when I was about 7, went to Slough 3 years, and then I was in Hemel from age 10. And, like I say, pretty unspectacular, nothing special to say.
Which school did you go to?
John F. Kennedy.
JFK school.
Yeah, I was actually in the first batch.
Oh, wow, okay.
They started off with the first batch. Next year they had 2 years. Next year, 3 years like that. I was just thinking next year must be 50 years.
I suppose it would be, actually. Yeah, we'll have to tap them up about that.
Yeah, you could ask. Are you in contact with the... you can get...
Oh, the various schools?
Yeah.
Well, we only spoke to them last week for GCSE results, for example. We spoke to one set, and then A-levels before that. Yeah, we try to have a dialogue going with all the significant groups.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things, I guess, among your readers.
Oh, yeah. How's everyone getting on with stuff like that? Or what's the hygiene like at the local restaurants? And it's the little things. It doesn't matter how much you dig into the scandals at County Hall and things like that. They want to know about GCSE results. And
So it's more a family-oriented paper, is it?
I think any local newspaper. It's got to be all about community.
I used to deliver the Evening Echo. You probably...
No, it's before my time.
Yeah. There was the Evening Post in Luton and the Evening Echo in Watford. Get that. Watford, Luton.
And you used to deliver it in Watford?
In Hemel. It was delivered. Right. It covered Watford, Hemel, and I'm not sure whether St. Albans was under the Post or... So it was an evening paper.
So what other things were you into? Were you... Did you play sports?
I played soccer. Like I say, it was a normal...
Which teams did you play for?
Oh, I didn't play. Most evenings. Sometimes play for the school team. Wasn't that good. My brother-in-law, he would have been a professional if he we used to play at school together, if he hadn't had a cartilage injury early on. Soccer, hated cricket.
Good man.
Too slow and boring for me. Table tennis, badminton, yeah, usual things. Used to like walking in the park, not in the park, in the country, because I was in Boxmoor. I don't know about now, but there was just on the other side of the railway track, practically the country began, going up toward the Common, Box Lane. So I used to like walking along the canal.
So you were growing up through life, as you say, an unremarkable life, presumably quite a happy one then?
No, actually I wasn't. There was no particular reason not to be. I mean, my parents went through a divorce. My mother was what nowadays they call mentally challenged. She had a few breakdowns, but...
Okay. Do you want to leave that out of the paper?
I wouldn't want to... hurt my father. Yeah.
I'm happy to say, you know, you were particularly happy your parents went through a breakup, but not go into the nitty-gritty details.
Yeah, that's good, thank you. But I don't know, I just didn't feel happy. I was thinking about the future, what am I going to do? I thought that I see everyone, their life seems pretty humdrum, and it's not that I wanted to do hang gliding or any such thing, but I just felt that what am I doing here? And I really didn't have any answer. I was expected to go on to university, and I got just enough to squeeze into university because I didn't study very well. But I didn't want to go. But I didn't know. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So my mother was from Ireland, and I worked for a little time in Hemel at some brush factory just over the road, which is probably closed down now.
Do you remember what it was called?
Oh, I can't remember.
That's right. I don't want to break your flow. You worked in a brush factory.
It was an industrial brush factory. It was a tiny little factory. It was about 10 employees, something like that.
But it didn't really float your boat then. It didn't.
No,
you didn't get a spiritual awakening in a brush factory.
No, for sure. But it was a job just to get some money, that's all. I mean, obviously everyone wants to get money, but I wasn't thinking of a career or any such thing. And then I did something in Kodak, which means I'd cycle from Boxmoor to Kodak in the industrial estate, which was every morning, that's just on way across the town. That must have been, let me see, because I remember that was the summer that England got knocked out of the World Cup by West Germany.
So 1970 then.
Was it 1970? Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, 1970 with the bad substitutions. It was Alf Ramsey's last one, because otherwise it would be 82.
Oh, because was. I remember Peter Bonetti was in the gold.
1970.
Was it 1970?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, it couldn't have been, was it? No. No, I'm getting mixed up then. And it must have been 1970. Oh. No, no. It must have been 1974 when England weren't even there.
Oh, okay.
See, my memory goes back. these are the important things in my life. Yeah, so you know, it must have been the one after that.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember the World Cup was on because I'd come back and stay up all night watching. Yeah, I think it was in Mexico, right? Then go to work in the morning, like everyone else, having been up watching at 2 o'clock in the morning. Then, I just worked to get some money. Then I went off to Ireland, and just kind of potted around there, wandering around, wondering what I was going to do. And then I got a book called Krishna. And I read it and I couldn't understand hardly anything about it whatsoever. But I felt there's something substantial there, something from a long distant past with something real there. Now I remembered that I'd seen on TV something it must have been in 1973 when the Hare Krishna temple in Lechmar Heath near to Watford was founded.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember seeing something about that, and I wasn't interested at the time, but it stuck in my mind that it's in Lechmar Heath. Oh, let's backtrack a little bit. At school, my best friend at school, and I couldn't find him out on the internet or anything, because there are too many Tony Morgans. So he had been into London for the weekend. That was a big thing. Yeah. I don't know about what it is now, but in those days, living in Hemel, going into London somehow or other was a big thing. Although it's just there.
Yeah, it's only 25 minutes on the train, and yet...
Somehow we didn't go. We just stayed in Hemel. But he'd been into London and he'd got some books and he showed me these books and he was very interested. But at the time I had no interest. That was just about 2 years, 2 or 3 years before I joined, before my whole life became shaped by this. But I remember he showed me and I said that, I don't want to see that. I know these Indian gurus, they're all cheaters. That was my impression. It still is to a large extent, with a few exceptions. So I thought, I'm just the evolution of my thoughts. What I thought, I want to do something really good with this life. So I want to do the best thing I can, and I was thinking what it is, and then I thought, well, the best thing is to try to find out God. But then where to go, how to go. I read the New Testament. I thought Jesus was great, but where is someone who can show me to be like that? And what else? I spent some time in a monastery in Ireland, where I also got up at 3 o'clock in the morning very early. But somehow it didn't click with me. They're very nice people, but... I was also a vegetarian, which was considered pretty weird in those days. Somehow I'd become a vegetarian. I'd been through using drugs and alcohol, and it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It started early and finished early. I didn't get into drugs heavily. But just tried out a few times. And so what else? Oh yeah, and another thing I thought was that, okay, I believe in God, which even though I went to a Catholic school, God wasn't much on the agenda. So I was thinking just who is God and how to understand. But one thing that really caught me when I heard the concept of reincarnation, that really clicked with me. because I thought that, well, surely God gives us more than one chance. I really didn't like the idea that if you blow it one time, that's it, finished forever. Mm. So the idea that God gives you more than one chance, that really clicked with me. So, yeah. So eventually, then I was in Ireland. I got this book. I thought, okay, I'm going back to England. There was no Hare Krishna temple in Ireland at the time. I thought, I'm going to go to England and check this out. I'm going back to England. So I went and came back to Hemel Hempstead. Told my father, that was actually after I'd been there. I said, I'm going to go and visit.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
this is presumably visited the one in Watford?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... it wasn't far, Boxmoor to Lechmoor Heath.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll go on my cycle. And it was a sunny spring day. I believe it was Easter Sunday. And so I thought, I'll just go in. I went early afternoon. I thought, I'll go over there, spend an hour or two and come back. So I went just in a shirt. Maybe I wore a sweater. But English weather being what it was, about a mile before I reached it, it started to snow. Yes. At least the weather's maybe changed, but it used to be like that. It was sunny and then it was snowing. And I got a puncture. And there was no one, it's just some village, and there was no one to repair the puncture. So I was stuck overnight.
And this was at the temple? Or just
at the temple, yeah. So I take that as Krishna's arrangement. and I noticed the monks there. The monks, and actually there are men and women living there. So I feel so they're all very, very happy, with a kind of happiness that I hadn't seen before. But what happened, I stayed overnight. And they gave me a sleeping bag to sleep on the floor. And then they got me up at 4 o'clock. They didn't tell me they were going to get me up at 4 o'clock. And I'd never heard of getting up. Well, I in that monastery in Ireland that was there, but I didn't expect that. And then the next thing, I had to have a cold shower. I never heard of a cold shower. And it was cold. And then we went to the temple, and the singing and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna, it really struck me. I thought, these people are doing this every day. They're really serious about what they're doing. They're really happy. They've really got something going on. To rise early in the morning and sing and dance for God voluntarily every day means they're really experiencing something. And I thought, this is what I wanted. Oh, and I was sent up vegetarian also, because they're vegetarians and they believe in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. They believe in God. I mean, there is, often people think we're Buddhists, but there's not Buddhism. There's God. God is there.
Yeah.
Believe in God. And so all these things together. And the fact that this was also very important to me, because I'd said that I didn't believe these Indian gurus because they're all cheaters, but I mean, they're not all cheaters, but at the time I felt, you know, pretty simplistic thinking at the time. But the fact that it was based on scripture going back way, way, way back is not just something that someone invented. It's not that someone came along and said, okay, folks, I've got the truth. You just believe me and follow me. But the fact that it's going back through a line of teachers, going back generation after generation, that was also very important for me. So all these different things put together convinced me that I have to join. And that was it. And so I went back to Hemel eventually and told my father I wanted to join. He said, okay, if that makes you happy, it makes me happy, which is very good of him.
Yeah, that's...
He said, I want you to go to university, but if that's what you want, that's what you do. And then years later, he told me, actually, he thought I wouldn't stay, so he wasn't bothered. But he's still happy. Still happy with me, which I'm glad.
That's fantastic.
He's almost 90. Just saw him last night.
Oh, brilliant, yes.
We've got a food.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
This is from a... We were trying to work out when this photo was, because we asked him...
Oh, Gordon Bennett, you can really see your... You've not really changed that much. A little hair and sunglasses, but otherwise... Crikey. Sorry, I interrupted you. Sorry, I'm so taken with that.
I don't even know why I had so much hair. I don't usually keep so much. Maybe I was going to Burma after that or something like that. In those days, we had to be a little careful, though. But this must have been over 30 years ago. We worked it out last night. That's the earliest photo we could get. We were talking about that, because nowadays photos do all over the place, but in those days it was something special. A little special. Wind up the film.
Oh, yeah, and you don't know what they look like. Oh, yeah. What? And you don't know what they look like until a month later when you've taken them to Happy Snaps and you get processed, and then every one of the photos, my eyes are closed.
So we don't have any photo. That's the earliest one they had. They had it. Right. Must be, yeah. We got it from them, right?
Yeah, we got it from them, yeah.
And not that good a quality, but...
No, that's great. We'll do a scan of some of these, if that's
really
okay.
I've got
to
return that, so...
No, that's fantastic.
That would be really nice. And I can email you these ones.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, we'll do a scan of some of those, and then we'll...
Even if you want to connect, if you've got a connector.
It would depend on whether we've got the right lead, so yeah. We'll check out. What is that? That's not an iPhone, is it?
It's my work phone.
We'll check. We'll see if it works. If not, if you can email it,
I have a couple of leads here also for our recorders, so might fit that.
We'll figure it out. If you've got half a dozen of solutions, which we do, one of them will work.
I can do it by tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, we don't need it ASAP. So tomorrow's great. Okay, so your dad was a happy man. Or at least he was entirely tolerant, and it all went
very
well.
Very tolerant, yeah. Very, you could say, liberal in the sense he never told me who he voted for. I never discussed it with him, but in hindsight, it seems that he was of the attitude that he wanted me to form my own opinions and this and that. He didn't... he left it up to me, largely. Four sisters, no brothers. If that's of any interest.
No. We'll tick through all these bits. That's fantastic. You've got four sisters. What do they do now? Are they still local?
My eldest sister is retired and travelling around with her second husband all over England in a camper. Is that what they call it in this country?
A camper van, yeah.
That's the last I heard of her. Second sister lived most of her life in Bradford.
Is she still up there now in Bradford?
I'm not sure. I didn't ask last night. Probably. She was from the very beginning into dance and drama and all this kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the third sister lives in Hemel Hempstead.
Oh, superb.
With my friend at school. I was saying he was going to be a pro footballer, but he had an early cartilage operation. Then he ended up doing an apprenticeship with, what's the name, Dickens or something in Watford, used to be the printing company.
Name rings a bell, but I've seen it before
like
my
time. And then he just finished it, and then everything got computerized. So all his apprenticeship was gone. This famous printing company, that was, anyway. So she still lives in Hemel. I saw her last year. And the fourth sister, I haven't seen or heard of her. She lives in Paris. She's living with, not married to, this French man. She's practically married, but...
Common law, as they were.
I'm a bit out of touch with the Western world. I've been out for 40 years or something. So it wasn't very common in those days.
Yeah.
I think it was just beginning. But now it's...
Well, it's bizarre, though, of course, because it was kind of just beginning, but at the same time, it had been that way for centuries, that people wouldn't necessarily get married. And then,
is it? Yeah.
If you go back, you know, before you had formal church ceremonies, particularly for, you know, ordinary working people rather than royals, then you'd just be with somebody and you'd be with somebody. And
really? Yeah. Was that the pre-Victorian?
Possibly a little earlier than that, but yeah, if you look in pre-Reformation, certainly. Because
they didn't get married?
Not necessarily, you know. You might have a thing where the local vicar, but then you might not. And if you haven't necessarily got a parish, I mean, how long have we had churches of any organised nature? People didn't say, well, we won't get married or have babies or anything. They just did what they did.
I see. Oh, but the churches in England go way back. They're 1,000 years, 800 years.
Yeah, yeah, at least, yeah. I mean, you had Christianity brought over.
But that wasn't for the plebs, huh?
Less for the plebs, more for the royals, because that's where the power was, wasn't it?
I see, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was Christianity came over with the Romans, wasn't it? I believe so, anyway.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
I think you're looking at about 4th century-ish. But of course, these things take so long. These things take so long to permeate, don't they? Mm. They start at the top and work down rather than the other way up.
I didn't know that. So, you're talking about in pre-Christian Britain.
Pre-Christian Britain, you had different sorts of ceremonies, but whether you'd recognise that as marriage as we now understand it,
I see.
I don't know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, well out of my scope. I know a little sociology, but not a vast amount.
Well, you're ahead of me on that one. I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
But, it sounds like it's been a fantastic journey. So, what would you... I mean, when readers were reading this and wanted to know more about Hare Krishna, I mean, how would you describe it for readers then?
Hare Krishna, in short, the teachings. You want to know about the teachings?
Well... An idiot's guide, if you will. You know, I believe in this because, or the key parts of
this. All right, well, the most basic thing, I say it's acceptance of God, but even before that, there's one most important thing to understand, which really, it gives a completely different perspective on life to that which you get growing up in Hemel Hempstead, in general. Is that the reincarnation means that this life isn't all in all. We were here before, we're going on again and again. So that understanding just gives a completely different perspective on the world, what we're doing here. So that's really the first thing. And then the body that we're in, as we know, it's temporary, but it's not me. So that's really the first thing. And if we don't grasp that, then it'll be very difficult to grasp a lot of the other things. But although that concept is gradually becoming well known, but it's not really part of the... worldview or psyche, but definitely among Hindus, it absolutely is. What do you think? Even now, even growing up in England,
yeah,
it's just a complete acceptance that we were here before.
Yeah,
we're just on one stop, and we're going on, and what we do now affects what we get in. What we did previously affects why we're here now. And what we do now will affect what we do in future also. So that's really the very first point that defines. Then, this Hare Krishna teachings are based on Bhagavad Gita, which some people have heard of. And that describes this world to be a place of, although we're looking for enjoyment, ultimately it's a place of suffering, because the very search for enjoyment is frustrated again and again and again. And the goal of life is to leave this cycle of repeated birth and death and go to the spiritual world with Krishna, who's roughly corresponds to who's known as God in English.
Yeah.
means the Supreme Being, what is that, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Those are the three fancy words. And but he's also full of fun and love and sweetness and kindness, and he is with she also, because nowadays we have to be very politically correct about all these things.
Well, it's only a shame we haven't got a gender-neutral word in English, isn't it?
No, it's not. There is a he and there is a she.
Yeah, but for Krishna, it's a real shame we haven't got a gender-neutral word.
No, but Krishna is he, that's the point.
Oh, okay, oh, sorry.
But there is a she to go with him.
Oh, okay, I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
What's the she called then?
She is called Radha. But Krishna is supreme, and Radha is nominally number two. But actually, Krishna is the supreme male, dominant, and she is subordinate, being female. But that subordination is actually, this is very high. Actually, I don't know if people can. But because it's all on the spiritual platform, it's not overtone with material, what are they called, gender rivalry or any such thing. But by her subtle love, she controls in a different way. So male and female, these divisions come right from the top. The Supreme is not gender neutral.
Okay.
But we, in this world, there's male and female because that's in God also.
Okay. How do you spell the name of the female?
R-A-D-H-A.
R-A-D-H-A.
And if you go to our temple in Watford, you'll see Radha and Krishna standing side by side. They worship together. Do you have any...
This was just I can see here. This is Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the one holding the flute, and always beside him is the Radha.
All right, thank you.
Radha, what is that? Radha bhajane jodi moti nahi bhalo, Krishna bhajana tava akarane galo. If you think that you can worship Krishna without Radha, it's all a waste of time.
Okay.
If you think you'll only go to Krishna, no, you need Radha also.
Okay. I like that.
You know that? You probably don't. It's Bhaktivinoda saying so.
Well, look, this has been absolutely fantastic. Well, we've got the photos then that you can send over me electronically. And if you're able to do that tonight, Pritesh, that would be absolutely fantastic.
We've got these photos as well.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to come to. If I'm all right just to scan these.
Yeah, I'm not sure which ones. Some of them just like showing you some things.
No, well, I like it's a good mix. We've obviously got a very young, almost a young Hugh, I'd say.
30 plus years ago.
And then here
these are more recent ones.
Yeah, I've got the information at the back, like the dates and things.
Ah, that's fantastic.
Did you have those ones with the big gatherings in Somnath and Puri?
I have the one in Seattle.
That's just a small gathering.
Yeah. Not all of them, it's just sort of... They'll just probably use...
These are mostly from India, aren't they?
These are fantastic. Well, I saw these USA as well. All right, I'll go and scan these then. Okay, if you're all right just to sit tight, two shakes, then I'll be with you in a moment, chaps. You don't want another drink or anything while you're here, do you?